These vestments, this chasuble serves not only as a chasuble, but a cape as you're flying through to the rectory. Anyway, oh, I forgot to mention, this is Clay, by the way. Clay, stand up. Clay Waterbury, he's our Dean of Servers. He's been very busy this past couple of weekends because he's been training our new servers, and if our new servers would stand up, they're first-timers here. We got Bella, Cody, and Aubrey, Audrey, and they are fourth graders. We just got our fourth grade crew served, ready and trained. Rhett's out there. I saw him too. So thank you. That's why they're wearing white. Until they've served 12 times, they're novice altar servers. They become full altar servers after their 12 times just to show them the ropes, and then they get to wear the color of the day, whether it's green or... And for those feasts that are white, they get to wear the gold, actually, because gold and white are interchangeable on the solemnities. So congratulations on serving, and thank you, Clay, for training them. Let's give them a hand. All right. So they're on the job training, too, so today. Vocations Awareness Week is this week. So it's a good time to reflect on how well we have lived out our vocation, because all of us have one, right? Priests and religious are not the only ones who have a vocation. Vocation simply means God's calling for your life. And so it includes consecrated single life, marriage and family life, and encompasses our work, what we do for a living, and how we support one another. So we all have a calling to serve the human family in some way. And to give ourselves in loving service, is at the heart of every vocation, right? Even Jesus, the Lord and Master of all, said that he did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, parents know this. They serve and give their life to their spouse and their children. Often you feel like a ransom, right? So loving service is at the heart of every vocation, and you and I will never be fulfilled in this life until we give ourselves away in love. St. John Paul the Great repeatedly went back to this theme of the Second Vatican Council's Gaudium et Spes, right? Which states, man cannot fully find himself except through a sincere gift of himself. In today's gospel, Jesus chastises the scribes and the Pharisees for acting in a way that is totally opposite of what's required to live out a vocation. And unfortunately, it epitomizes a common attitude in our society today, right? People acting solely for their own interests, abusing their authority for their own self-gain. We increasingly live in a society where it's all about me, filled with a lot of self-promotion and self-aggrandizement, right? Our culture breeds the attitude of self-assertion, and it's all about me, me, me. Because of our hypercritical world, the common wisdom is now, you know, you're never going to make everybody happy, so live your life for yourself. Do it for you. And it sounds nice, but it's the opposite mentality needed for a vocation, which is the giving of ourselves in loving service to others. But in some ways, you know, this forget about everybody else, live for yourself attitude, it's understandable because of the decay of our respect for the dignity that each human person has. You know, in our self-absorption, we don't value other people and their inherent rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And because we don't respect each other's rights in each other, what can happen is that we feel like we have to fight for ourselves, regardless of what it might mean for the person next to us, regardless of whether or not pursuing my self-interest would actually infringe on the fundamental rights of others. Well, guess what? That fighting for our self-interest at the expense of others doesn't improve society. It continues its downward spiral. It perpetuates a me versus the world attitude. When everyone just looks out for themselves, then no one feels secure enough to sacrifice for the common good and the well-being of our fellow man and woman. You know, you see this unhealthy conflict between genders and generations, between races and religions, including the religion of atheism. You know, the 40 days for life that we just finished yesterday highlights a good example of this mentality of fighting for ourselves, regardless of how it may affect the lives of others, right? We're so into ourselves and feel so defensive about our rights that we have convinced ourselves that the killing of the lives of 3,000 children in the womb each day in this country is not only normal, but we have a fundamental right to be able to do so. That's how crazy it's gotten, right? And such delusions will continue to be so until we treat the underlying problems, one of which is a society where women feel threatened and where they are not given their proper dignity, perpetuated, as we've seen, among other things, Hollywood and an endemic porn culture that continue to promote women primarily as sex objects. As we are again reminded of this by the many women who have spoken out after the Weinstein case. But these, of course, you know, they're not new problems. They find their root all the way back to the original sin of Adam and Eve, when they did not trust in God and wanted instead to take for themselves what was God's prerogative. Way back then, God had clearly described the consequences of rejecting his love, his loving plan for humanity, and instead opting to go at life without him. So to Eve, he said that, you know, quote, "Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he will rule over you." In other words, it'll be a struggle for you and him to be united. And he may be prone to use his physical strength not to protect, but for his selfish advantage. And to Adam, God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." In other words, making a living will be difficult. Life will be difficult. All right? And in sum, when humanity rejects God and chooses themselves to be the ultimate authorities in place of God, well, then, who becomes the ultimate authority? Who's one person to say to another that their worldview is any better than theirs when there is no ultimate authority? And so, the human community becomes not one of love, but a shouting contest of competing self-interest, and one that pits man against woman, man against nature, and it devolves into what? Might makes right, which is a source of injustice, right? And so, what's the solution? Remember that we are a people of hope. And the state of affairs in our world should never get us down to the point where we feel helpless. We are a people of hope because we know the final outcome. That evil defeats and caves in on itself, and it's only love that perdures. Christ won the victory. And so, it's a matter of us working to have as many people share in that victory of love. So, how do we turn the tide in a society where everyone is fighting for themselves, looking out for number one, even at the expense of other people, their freedom, and their well-being? We really don't have to look, you know, for a solution because God himself has already given it to us. And the way he has offered the solution is not simply dictating it from on high, but he has done so by becoming one of us and actually showing us how to live. And being true to the words he preached, even if it meant his death, right? Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to make self-interest the goal of his life, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In the face of the world's message of, you know, you should live your life for yourself, well, Jesus lived it for others. He lived directly opposite of the way the scribes and the Pharisees in today's gospel lived, and directly opposite of how much of our world is living today, right? And of course, Jesus invites us to live in the way that he lived. So the solution hasn't changed. It's just that people have turned away from it because they don't want to live the way of the cross. It's difficult to go against the cultural current. But just as Jesus was the light amidst the darkness of the world, so he has called you and me to be the light of the world in our own time and place, to be a people who not only profess God's commandments like the scribes and Pharisees, but only to live counter to them, but to be a people who are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to look out for one another, right? That's what our lives as Jesus' disciples here at St. John should witness to Jackson and to the world around us, that humanity thrives not by self-interest, just doing my own thing, just pursuing my own personal goals, but by living right here in our parish, the human family we want to see out in the world. So to come full circle, this is Vocations Awareness Week. People who live out their God-given vocation change the world. And at the heart of every vocation is that sacrificial giving of oneself in love. Man cannot fully find himself except through a sincere gift of himself. That's at the heart of any vocation well lived, whether you're a priest or a religious or spouse and parent. We can't discover who we are until we give ourselves in love to God and to others. Like Mama is giving herself right now to that little child, right? And so to change the world, we don't have to, you know, go to some far and distant land and help the poor there. As Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, this is what she said. Stay where you are. Find your own Calcutta. Find the sick and the suffering and the lonely right there where you are. In your own homes and in your own families, in your workplaces and in your schools, you can find Calcutta all over the world if you have the eyes to see. Everywhere, wherever you go, you will find people who are unwanted, unloved, uncared for, rejected by society, completely forgotten, completely left alone. And so in conclusion, let's avoid being like modern-day scribes and Pharisees, where we allow, you know, self-righteousness to blind us into thinking that life should revolve around us and our wants. Instead, let's take the path of our master. Let's truly love one another right here in our own Calcutta of Jackson, starting in our families and in our parish. And in that sincere gift of ourselves to one another here, we'll discover ourselves and our dignity, serving as inspiration for others around us to get over themselves so as to strive to do the same.